Ages Combos. We gon' show you how the world goes. Ages Combos. We gon' show you how the world goes. Ages Combos. We gon' show you how the world goes.
Take a look at the world we living in, it's falling apart. Put the glass, muscle and gun, but don't show heart. Time to spark a conversation, let that be a lesson. Speak the truth in the booth, call it confession. Chains of oppression links us together. Any stormy weather, red, blue, black or white, we can do better. It's AG Combos, pay attention. Make links, break chains, yeah, that's the mission. I said, yeah, that's the mission.
AG's Combos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's Combos, we gon' show you how the world goes. What is up, everybody? Everybody, what is up? What's happening, man? Hey, this is, sorry, I'm a little excited. Welcome back to AG's Convos. We are back in the GB Entertainment Studios. It's me, AG, and my man, Mr. Kenny Schmidt.
What up, Doe?
What's happening, man?
Not much, brother. It's been a minute, man. I've been here, but, you know, I've been behind the scenes, chilling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? But it's been a lot going on.
Man, it's crazy.
It's like so much stuff going on that I've never even fathomed that it can get to this point. All because of one big move, and then after that is like big move after big move, and
domino effect. Hey man, we said it a long time ago. We was on a mission to get to a certain point, and we got there,
dude,
in record time.
I have been. It's been a roll for me emotionally and physically, like. Even going through this process that we're going through with, yeah, like starting this whole little thing, only because I'm so wanting results so fast, you know what I'm saying? And then when they don't happen fast, it's like you get discouraged.
Yeah.
But then you got to kind of get over the discouragement and figure it out. Like, all right, what we got to do next? Something got to happen. And luckily, I got a great business partner that just, when he gets discouraged, he makes things happen.
Yeah, I get discouraged. My sense of urgency goes crazy.
I was like, wow, bro. Like, all right. Yeah, well.
I like to turn it up.
You turned all the way up, bro. I congratulate you on all the moves you've made lately.
Hey, it's a team effort. You know what I mean? Bringing Mike and Lavarome here definitely changed the trajectory.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of put a new fire in me. So yeah. I started going after a different type of opportunity, you know what I mean? And awareness became kind of the key of the progression. You know, people started becoming aware of what we was doing. Because even before this, I didn't really put a lot on social media. It was like,
oh no, we didn't advertise it.
Because there was nothing to talk about.
It was like, dude, we got the space. If you wanted to come and see it, be my guest. You know what I'm saying? But now it's like, we got the space, we got the people, we got whatever you wanted to do, it's on the flow.
It's done.
You do whatever you want to do.
Hey, we said we wanted to have the biggest recording studio in Cleveland. I still remember that manifestation episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, manifest that.
Yeah. I was so against that manifest. I was like, man, forget a manifestation. You know, I was on it like, I feel like you got to work hard. You got to work and get it. He was like, no, brother, you definitely got to work hard, but you still have to manifest it, though.
You got to believe, man. You got to know that this shit is right around the corner. And then you got to turn that corner.
Yeah.
If you know it's around the corner and you ain't willing to make that turn,
yeah,
then it's just going to be sitting there waiting for you to make that turn. So we made that turn, bro. Here we go.
Yeah,
you know, I was talking the truth earlier. You know, I mean, this episode is a reflection episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was talking to him because hopefully by now y'all have heard the Ted K episode. And that was a little special event that came up. So Cleveland had this big music conference last week, right? That V3 conference, where all of the, I guess, the music execs and the music leadership in the Midwest, at least, kind of came into Cleveland for a conference that had never taken place before. It was the first of its kind.
Oh, wow.
In the Midwest. So, but they brought in talent from all over the place, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, New York, California, right? And Ted K came in. Shout out to Ted K. Shout out to Epidemic Records. Shout out to Kool & Dre. Shout out to his whole camp. Because he came through. He had a loaded schedule, but he still found a way to give us about an hour. You know what I mean? That was huge, man, because this is a big deal. This is a big dude in the industry.
Right.
And he just blessed us with all kind of knowledge and insight and perspective. And it's the first episode of AG's Convos that was videotaped. So,
oh, really? You had a video thing?
I had a video everything. Wow. So by the time everybody hears this episode, hopefully it'll be out there. Okay. And we're only talking a couple of days away. The video is still being edited. We got to do it right. Go do it first. You got to do it right. But it'll be on the YouTube channel and it'll be on the website for GB Entertainment. So that's how people will be able to get to it. So I'm talking to Truth. I'm like, dude, you know, I got this video piece. We kind of got the capacity now. We can do this. He was like, that's the next move. You got it. You got to get into that space. So, you know, I've been kind of thinking like, damn, I remember thinking like I wanted to get to video, but I wanted to make sure I had enough content to make it worthwhile.
Exactly.
You do realize what episode this is, right?
70 Shim.
The double.
I wrote it and I was like, I know Arthur got something special up his sleeve for 77.
I've been thinking about it, man. I was like, do I want to videotape this one? I was like, nah. This is going to be like maybe the last episode that doesn't have a video element to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it had to be the end of something great and the start of something great.
Start of something great, yeah.
And we're better than 77. You see what I'm saying?
77, yeah. You start something new on 77. After 77, it's going down.
It's all uphill from there,
Yes, man. I'm so happy, man, and so proud to be part of something of this magnitude, though. Like, just to be in the building and be like, yeah, I'm here.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, like I said, it's more reflection than anything. Cause I'm looking back. And I just had this conversation with Neff and her husband, Pete Jones. Shout out
Pete
to Nefertiti.
Jones.
Shout out to Nefertiti, Ivani, and Pete Jones. They just left the building. And we were just talking about, like, man, you know, how much do we do that couldn't have been done already? You know what I mean? I think about the fact that this building sat vacant for 4 years.
Without nobody touching it.
And nobody even looked at it. And you look at it now and it's like a mecca. For Northeast Ohio music and entertainment.
I'm surprised Mike didn't know that this building was vacant for 4 years.
Well, he did.
But he had already had the
lease. He was on the lease somewhere else.
Yeah, he did. He said that. Yeah, he did.
And by the time his lease came up, I was already in it.
He was already here. He was like, that was my building right there.
Right, like, dude, you cut in. I was ready. But it worked out perfectly because what we feed each other, neither one of us was really interested
in. And he's able to offer anything that anybody wanted to come in here and do when just me and you couldn't offer that. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that we couldn't get to that point.
Yeah, we'd have figured it out.
To have it already, I can't do it, but Mike can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. In-house.
In-house,
ready
now.
To go. And that, you know, that's music, that's voiceovers, that's podcasts, that's books, that's all of that. Dude, we've been talking to politicians about their stump speeches and their media spots and their news interviews. Cause they're like, we don't have anywhere to go to do this. We're doing it in our houses. We're doing this. And it's like, damn, I never even
thought about that.
I knew I wanted to go down that commercial segment, but you know, I met with a large name in the world of Northeast Ohio politics today. And he basically said, This is the space.
Yeah.
This is the space that we've been looking for, that everybody's been trying to figure out in their own environment, but it already exists. You're like, you got to let people know this exists.
Yeah.
So I'm letting y'all know this exists. You know what I mean? And no, I don't have the audience that he has, but he's basically like, how do I help you get this word out?
Yeah.
AG's Convos, bruh.
Yeah, jump on the pod.
Apple Podcast. Yeah, I might actually get him on. I talked to him about that too, you know. And with Ted being on last week, he's basically taking this whole conversation to Miami because he was so like impressed with the space and the effort and what we're doing. And man, when I tell you this dude, he put so much information into a 35-minute conversation. Mm. It was like, wow. Yeah. I've been literally studying it, listening back to it, like, oh, I see where that was going.
I was salty when you told me about it, and I was like, no, I can't come because I had already committed to something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, I really want to go to that, but I don't want to. This was like a family event, something with some family. If it was some friends, I would have been like, oh, no, I got something to do. But
right.
Since it was family and my brother wanted everybody to come over to his house that he's been staying in for the last two years that he bought, but he never really had the whole family over. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody come over.
Right.
So I was like, let me go in. I've been over there a million times because that's my little brother.
That's
and
your
I'm
brother,
like his,
right.
I'm his favorite brother. So he always had me over there, but
right.
he never really had everybody over there at once. So it was kind of cool.
That's cool. What did it turn out? I mean, like a cookout?
Yeah, it was a cookout. Yeah.
And did do the cooking?
I did barbecue some ribs, you know what I'm saying, at my house, and then I took them over there.
Okay.
Because I knew, bruh, that's a little bruh, he probably going to make some hot dogs and hamburgers and
call it a day.
And I'm like, no, you got to have some ribs. So I made some ribs, beef and pork, and they was good, too.
That's what's up. I didn't see you on that grill,
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I kind of mastered it. I was telling Dave, like, I'm the master. I had Monica, GB7 podcast. Sure. I had her eat one when we was on the pod Sunday. And she was like, oh, my God, these are amazing. I'm like, I know. I'm good. I'm real good at that.
Oh, that's funny. How's everything going with GB7?
Oh, yeah. So, we had our last episode, we had T. Bush back on.
Okay.
And T. Bush came down and did a whole Bacardi presentation with us because they got three different brands that they're selling, their 4-year, their 8-year, and their 10-year.
Bacardi?
Rums, yeah, Bacardi.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got a 4-year, they got an 8-year, and a 10-year aged.
Yeah.
So we got the chance to sit on the pod and taste all of them. And then after that, we went to the Taste of Tremont, which it was raining, which was corny. But we still went out and did our thing. But he was set up at the Spotted Owl doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So we got to sit there and be VIP, and they was taking pictures of us doing tastings and Spotted Owl is the spot, man. I like it a lot.
The basement.
I like it.
The basement doesn't open up until the fall, though, right?
The basement is open right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought they didn't open until the fall.
Yeah, they're open. That's where we were at in the basement part.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real nice down there.
That is the spot, dude. We used to go in there and just chill. And there's a few of them.
Yeah, it was very, very. I had never been to Taste of Tremont, so and by being while it was raining, it was still a good turnout. Like, people were still out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, walking around, had the umbrellas, and it was a night. But Dave was like, "Listen, if it wasn't raining, this boy would be like this, shoulder to shoulder."
Oh yeah, it'd be.
But we went into this art gallery over there on Professor. I think that's the street that it's on.
Yeah.
And it's an art gallery over there. Yeah. And they got a whole bunch of Cleveland art in there. Like, somebody who takes the pictures, but then they blow them up and put them in frames, and they look so awesome. Mm. And then they, do little different things to the pictures. But there was some dope art in there, though. And some of it cost a lot of money. Some of it didn't. I ended up buying a piece from one of the artists in there. It was of the Twin Towers.
In New York?
He took these pictures of the Twin Towers when the Twin Towers was up.
Right.
And he took a landscape one of when they was right there, and then he took one real close with just both of them, and then the middle picture say, God bless America for when they fail.
Mm.
And he had it for half off. So he sold it to me for like $20, but it's a dope picture.
How big is it?
It's real long. It's like three pictures in one, but one on the top, one in the middle, and one on the bottom.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, you took these pictures? He's like, yeah, I took these pictures. He was like, I usually charge like $45 for this painting, but everything on this wall is half off. And he was like, so give me $20. You got it. I'm like, oh, bet. I need that. Mm. And he signed the back of them and everything.
That's
and
what's up.
It's kind of dope.
Was it like a digital reprint then? Was it on a canvas?
It was taken with a camera, but it was literally set in this nice frame.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it looks good in the frame. But there are pictures that he actually took in New York, different types of pictures. He has some that are paintings. Like, he'll take the picture and then he'll paint over the picture.
Okay.
That was dope, too, because I was like, he'll show us the original. Like, this is the original picture, but this is what I did to it. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of dope. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
But so much talent in this city. It's
yeah,
ridiculous.
And he was like, dude, man, since it's Taste of Tremont, I would have y'all, I would like serve y'all some drinks, but it's too many people coming in and out. But usually I'll have people in here with cocktails and we'll sit around and drink.
Right.
And
mimosas, look at, whatever,
and
right,
look at the gallery. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not the only artist in there. There's a whole bunch of different artists in there. So he has his little part where it's all his work.
I'm trying to remember where you're talking. I know there's a few spaces like that down there, but I don't know if I've been
over
into
there,
that one.
It's close to Edison's.
Okay.
Across the street, close to Edison's. But I can't pinpoint exactly where.
Yeah, I'll track it down.
Yeah.
Because if it's a gallery, it's always something going on.
But he told
there,
us to come back in there, and I was like, yeah, we coming back, because he had this dope one. It was like black and white, but then the flames on it was color.
Oof.
So it was a city. It was of like the steel plant, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
fire,
yeah,
coming out the thing
in the valley.
But
yeah,
the fire was real, real colorful, and everything else was black and white, and it was huge. And Dave was like, "That's the one right there."
Mm.
I think he wanted like $1,500 for it because it was huge. Mm. And I was like, "That's a good paint. That's a good picture." Yeah,
that's what's up, man.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
You gotta love this city.
Yeah,
and I didn't say it. The basement of the Spotted Owl is a speakeasy. So just if anybody was wondering why I kept mentioning the basement, that's why. But there's a lot of speakeasies in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
In Northeast Ohio. You know, I keep running into them all over the place, and they all get, you know, different cocktail mixologists, as they refer to them. So they're not bartenders. Don't call somebody in the speakeasy a bartender. They'll kick you out.
Yeah. It takes time and effort to make those drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And we had them, and I was like, ooh, this tastes good.
Right. And they come up on you, too.
But they're subtle. Like, they don't even taste like the one. I think Ron had one. It was real spicy. Yeah. Like, hot to the taste.
Jalapeno or something?
I don't know what it was, yeah, but it tastes good. But right, it had an afterkick, like, spicy. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could drink that.
Man, some of them drinks be, like, 180 proof.
Yeah.
And just sneak up on you. Like, whoa, where did that come from?
I can't, man.
Yeah, but we reflecting right now, man. Yeah. And the reason I brought up the GB7, shout out to Dave, shout out to the whole team, yourself included, man. You know, that was kind of how this whole process started. And I won't rehash that story.
We definitely, me and Dave just talked about that, too. It's like, dude, if me and you wouldn't have had that conversation, there would be no AG's Combos. And I'm like, You're right,
he's 100% right. I had no interest in doing this shit.
This wasn't an AG. He was like, I'm just telling you, like, how we made a whole
organic
bunch of other things happen just by us having a conversation and saying that you would record me. You know, Dave get on his drunk shit, and then it's weird.
But he's right. You know, this wasn't my forte.
But you're good at it.
This wasn't my forte, but I knew that it would become a launching pad for something else. I knew it would become a platform to kind of get the message out there.
Yeah.
Because that was the one thing I couldn't figure out. Was I knew what I wanted to do, but it's like, how do I tell everybody else about that? And no, again, I don't have 50 million listeners, which is why I don't have a $500 million organization yet. You know what I mean? But it's so effective at giving us the space and the opportunity and the freedom of speech.
Speech, yes.
To kind of put some of this stuff together, you know what I mean? And to start including other people.
And to sharpen up on some people's communication skills, because some people you think that you communicate with, they're not really good communicators until you hear them on pod, and then you be like, I thought you communicated, but you're really not really a communicator.
All that efficient.
But over time, people start to learn that, I guess I got to talk.
Right.
I guess I got to use my words.
And that's what it comes down to. And sometimes it's bigger than entertainment. Yeah. Sometimes it's about information.
Just information,
yes. You know what I mean? So that's why I like the diversity of the type of people we get in here. And, you know, the reason I missed that art event or the music event, the V3 event, is because I participated in the Taste of Cleveland event or Taste of Freedom event in Cleveland. So I don't know if you heard about that. Mm-mm. So the Cleveland School of Cannabis. Now, you know I don't smoke no weed.
I did see you post something about that, and I was like, where's Arthur at?
Right.
Because that's not the studio.
Right, that is not my that's not my scenery, right? So Taste of Freedom. The Cleveland School of Cannabis put on an event where they were hosting you can call it a roundtable discussion with a group of previously justice-involved individuals who were investing in the cannabis space. Because for a lot of people, cannabis is what got them locked up in the first place.
Right.
And the guest speaker at this event was Johnny Curry.
Hmm.
Okay, you know who Johnny Curry is.
Johnny Curry is...
You ever seen White Boy Rick?
Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah.
So White Boy Rick was a movie about a 14-year-old white kid
right.
that infiltrated the Curry Gang, or the Curry Brothers drug organization.
Mm.
So the two brothers in White Boy Rick were Johnny and Leo Curry, twin brothers. Johnny Curry was the guy that was the guest speaker at this event.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, he's basically telling his story, his backstory about how he got his rise to fame and how he got took out and all of this. And the best part about his participation was he said it out loud. He was like, you know, I haven't got an ill bone in my body against Ricky, right? He was a 14-year-old kid that was being used by the U.S. government to try to take me out. I ain't mad at him for what he did.
Right.
I'm mad that I had to go to jail for 20 plus or for 14 years for something that people are doing and getting paid for right now. You know what I mean?
It's
so,
legal.
And he wasn't mad in the sense that, you know, but it's the irony in it all.
Yeah, it's like 14 years of my life gone for something that y'all literally doing right here.
Paying people to do,
mm-hmm.
like encouraging people to do. But, you know, there's still some limitations in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, the coolest thing that came out of it, outside of him coming to the studio, because he was like enamored with what we was doing. So
right.
I was telling him the story. He was like, man, I need to come check out your studio because I'm about to redo this movie. He's basically like, I'm gonna tell my story my way. So I'm super excited about that. He's like, we're redoing it. We're gonna do it in like a mini series situation, and we're gonna tell the true story of the Curry brothers. Because these dudes, I'm telling you, his pilot was there talking about how he used to run like 30,000-40,000 pounds of weed from Miami to Detroit on a plane.
Wow.
Like constantly. Like, I ain't never seen that much money. I ain't never seen that much weed. And this dude was in the military. He was flying like fighter jets and aircraft carriers and all the crazy shit. He was like, these dudes had me moving weed.
Oh, so he was in the service doing it?
No, he did it after he got out the service.
But he had his own plane.
He had the skill sets and he had the access, right?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, the story is crazy. I'm not about to tell it on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Go listen to that episode.
Well, listen to the interview, because I did post the interview on the AG's Convos podcast page.
Okay.
So you can listen to everything that Johnny Curry had to say.
Okay.
His pilot wasn't on it. We had some backstory conversations. He was just the most unsuspecting person you'll meet.
Wow.
You know, you look at him and you go, oh, here's $2. No. Good luck with you, bro.
Yeah.
But he's looking like, these motherfuckers don't know what I'm about. You know what I mean? This dude's like, I actually was in the military. I was trained by Oliver North. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, that's kind of how I got my start. And I mean, older dude, obviously. But it's just amazing, man. We don't know what's happening in our own backyard sometimes.
In our own backyard,
You know what I mean? And they driving down the street. They come to the studio. If you saw him walk down the street and you didn't know who he was, you just think he was another guy.
Another guy.
But in Detroit, he's a legend. He's the guy. You know what I mean? He is the Frank Lucas of Detroit.
Oh, wow.
What Frank Lucas did in New York, he did in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how big that situation was. Hundreds of millions of dollars in business. But, you know, to be able to be in that environment, you know, it's why I missed that event. Because Wes, Wall Street Wes, shout out to Wes, he was kind of the catalyst of that event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because of his justice involvement and the post-incarceration syndrome that we've put a lot of time and attention on, he kind of generated the buzz for this activity.
Okay.
And the doctor that Wes keeps referencing that has helped him kind of cope with his situation just happens to be Johnny Curry's first cousin.
Oh, wow.
So all these dots start connecting all over the place. You know what I mean? So it's been an experience for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you start to couple that with some of the other stuff that's going on here. And they like, oh, we need a soundtrack for this movie we're about to put out. And TK's sitting there. I'm like, hey, they need a soundtrack for this movie that's about to come out. He's like, Kool & Dre looking for some new projects to do. So it's the energy, man. It's, yeah, you know,
it's amazing energy. I feel it in here when I walk into this building. Everybody seems like happy and ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the lights are brighter. The buzz is just there. You can feel it.
Even talking to Ryan when I came in here, I've never talked to that guy. When I was in school, I seen this guy every day. I went to the school.
Right.
To the locker room. And I never seen him. He never really said too much of any words.
Right.
But here, oh, we talking, we chopping it up. It's just, he telling me stories. And I'm sitting here like, oh, really? Like, right. Wow. But it's weird because everybody's in a good spirit because of the space.
Right.
It's like, oh, I see where we're going with this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and that was the best part about the TED interview. I even said it. I was like, pardon our dust. We still like kind of building this thing out. He's like, nah, man. I see what you're doing. I see the vision. Like, this is cool. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. And you know, and I'm super grateful to Dave because there was nothing uncomfortable about what he asked me to do. I just wasn't interested at the time because I knew what I wanted to do. I didn't know how I was going to put it out there. And I didn't really know what to expect because at the time I was like, "Ew, I didn't even listen to podcasts."
Who listens to podcasts? Well, apparently, I mean, we listen to audio books, which is cool,
right?
That was cool to listen to audio books, but a podcast where somebody's just talking, they're talking, you're supposed to just take their opinion as their. No, we're not doing that.
And don't get me wrong, I've always been a huge talk radio fan.
Yeah,
but that's live. That's broadcast, not podcast.
Not podcast like post. You get to edit things and do right. What you want. Yeah,
no, I mean, I didn't mind the organic conversations that you can kind of jump in on. If somebody say something, you got to drop the call or you got to mute the cuss word or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that because I live in the moment and it was always different. It was always current, but I'm like, podcast, that's like made up conversations. You know what I mean? But that's if you want it to be that. So I started a process. I'm like, okay, it's a commercial. I'm going to go out and I'm going to just record this commercial. But then it becomes like, oh no, this is like,
people
pathway.
Are really listening to me.
Like really paying attention to what's being said.
Because then you get the conversations outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, once the podcast is over and somebody heard it, they be like, oh, that one episode you said, and I might have forgot I said
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? Like, T. Bush do this to me all the time. Like, Boosie, you said, and I'd be like, bruh, I don't remember what I said on that podcast.
How many episodes ago was that?
But what he say be making sense. And a lot of times he'd be agreeing with me, but it'd just be like, oh, okay. People are really listening to what you're saying out your mouth and taking what you're saying into accountability. Like,
which is why I started to challenge myself in public. You know what I mean? Because I've said that before. You can believe what you want to believe. You can tell yourself you're going to lose weight. But until you tell somebody else, then nobody realize that you haven't lost the weight you said you was going to lose yet.
It's just all a
you got to say it outside.
You got to say it
outside.
You
know what I'm saying?
Out loud.
Out loud, right. So when I started saying this stuff, like, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go with this. Then people are just coming to me like, so when is this going to happen? I'm like, I guess it really does have to happen. But I wanted it to happen.
It was like out loud affirmations.
Exactly.
Because I know Tia do that all the time. Shout out Tia. She be on it.
Of course.
But, affirmations. I had that conversation with her one time. And I was like, why do you write that down every day? Like, every day she posts some affirmations. I'm like, you do that every day, like, and it's different? Because I don't read it, of course.
Right.
I just see affirmations and skip straight through that shit. Like, no, I'm not reading that. But she said, no, you have to be grateful and give thanks to things that you want in your life and what you want to manifest out of life. Sometimes writing it down makes it even. And then sometimes you writing yours down gives somebody else inspiration. On the other end, that don't write them down.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they read it and be like, oh, shit. Sure.
Right.
I like those affirmations
for today. That speaks
to
me. Right. That speaks to me. That reminds me, that wakes me up, that motivates me, that gets me out of my rut. You never know. You never know what kind of impacts you're going to have on somebody.
Yeah.
Which is what we were talking about a little bit ago. It's like you meet somebody that introduced you to somebody, and next thing you know, you're meeting that person that completely changes your life. You know what I mean?
It only take you to meet that one person. I always told people, like, that's why I'm a people person like I am.
Right.
Like, I try to tell Dave this, too, because I'm like, dude, your podcast will not go as far as you want it if you're not social. You have to be some type of social person.
Yeah.
You can't be in the, like, be social on your podcast only, and then outside your podcast, you don't give nobody nothing.
Right.
Because
he's a very private guy.
You know what I'm saying? He knows so much.
Right.
But in his personal life, is like set what he do. I go to work, I come home, I do what I do at home, and then I go and hide.
Right.
But you got to be some social in there somehow, some way, and let people know that you outside a little bit, at least. Right. Like, when we went to Touch, I was like, I mean, when we went to Taste, a Tremont, I had to snap a few pictures. I'm like, dude, we got to take pictures because nobody knows we're here. We can't just say we went to the Taste of Tremont and everybody be like, what was y'all doing? What happened? You know what I'm saying? Take some pictures.
Right.
Of yourself.
Right.
He talking about, bro, you got a good picture of me too, because I had a a ketchup stain on my on my shirt. I don't know where I had some ketchup at.
Right.
But it was on there, but the picture you took didn't show it. So I was like, yeah, that's because I catch people off guard. I really don't take pictures of you talking about pose. I'd be just, you'll be in your element.
Right.
Like, snap.
Candid.
Snap.
Right. That's what's up, man. So we start getting out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
All right. We start doing things that make us uncomfortable and things that we didn't necessarily anticipate, and they turn into opportunities.
And that's what you've been preaching the whole time.
Since day one.
Let's get up out of our comfort zone. I mean, that's how you got me from the beginning. Like, dude, why are we not doing what we want to do? Like, that was the first conversation. Like, wow.
Day one.
Day one.
Right. But I mean, you see it pays off. You know what I mean? You just gotta ride it out. You gotta stick it out.
It's gonna be hard. There's nobody's story that says I went from doing something to being successful. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has that little part where they be like, dude, it wasn't easy.
Right.
I was about to kill myself or whatever they wanted to do.
Right. I almost put my house up for sale. Or I did put my house up for sale.
And then all of a sudden you meet that one person and it just changes everything. Like,
yeah, I talked to one of my biggest supporters, man, a contractor that I deal with. Shout out to Cornell, because sometimes he listens. And even if he don't, I know his daughter does. But, you know, I remember him telling me, I'm like, dude, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to. He was like, don't ask nobody for it. Just figure out how to get it. Just go and get it. He was like, if you got to put your house up for sale, if you got to take out a second mortgage on your house, do it. He was like, you are built to succeed. You have the capacity to succeed. You're just going to have to figure out how to do it, and it's not going to be easy. I'm like, I'm not about to sacrifice my. He's like, trust me, you will.
If you want it,
if you want it bad enough, you will.
You will.
And if you stick to it, it'll pay off.
I remember our conversations earlier in our. We had a few conversations about maybe taking on investors.
Mm-hmm.
But then that conversation kind of went totally to a whole nother conversation. And I was like, it sounded good when we had it. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. But then I guess you kind of slept on it. It was like, oh, no, we ain't doing that. we're not doing that.
You're not owing nobody nothing at the end of this.
I'm not giving you nothing, and I don't want your input on nothing. No, I don't need you.
Well, you know, and what it boiled down to, so many people wanted to help with creative control.
Yeah, with some creative
control. And it's like, all right, well, I'll give you creative control. No, I want creative control in the space that matters. And I want a big cut of what comes of it and this and that. And I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do other than say, here's X number of dollars? Mm. And now you want to have all this control and all this input. Well, you need the money. I'm going to give you the money if you give me the control and input. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's not. I get where you're coming from with it. It's not. It's basically like you're making a bed for somebody else.
To lay in.
And just be like, oh, yeah, he can come in here and say what he wants to say.
Eat in it, fart in it, you know what I mean? Make love in it. And then I'm supposed to wash the sheets.
And I know how you wanted to build this thing to be actually something that you had something to do with and you were very passionate about. And even taking on some of my passions and putting it part of it. Like, listen, I love your passion. Let's do this.
And to me, that was the thing. Yeah. For everybody that wanted to participate, they wanted to take over something that meant something to me. It's like, oh, we're not going to involve these people. We're not going to do it this way. And we're only going to go down this road. I'm like, no, you're trying to change the whole scheme. That's not what I'm out here for. I'm out here to give this particular group of individuals a chance to shine. And you're trying to make it out to be something completely different. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it played out exactly the way I wanted it to. But I gave that opportunity its chance. And those people said yay or nay.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes back and it's like, oh, well, what happened to this or what happened to that? And it's like, oh, you passed. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to tell you. You passed. So I couldn't just sit here until you changed your mind. I got to keep moving. You know what I mean? So it was never about me having control over the process. It was about me ensuring that the message wasn't lost in the participation.
The whole point of us doing what we're doing is not lost.
Right. So if I got to slow down, or if I got to wait, or if I got to wait until somebody else can actually get involved, then I'll do that. And if that means it's going to cost me a little bit more time, effort, and money, and sleep, and stress, and all of that.
We started at a right time, though, because we started in a pandemic, so it was like,
it helped so much.
It helped us kind of, you know what I'm saying, navigate a few things while, and we're still in a pandemic, so we're actually not all the way out of one.
No, not
but
at all.
As soon as we get up out of it, when we do make it up out of it,
it's
going up. I'm telling you, it's going up.
With no overhead. You know what I mean? When it's all said and done, the only thing that gives me peace is I can start to generate opportunities and revenue and all of that kind of stuff, and I don't owe anybody else back.
You don't owe nobody no money,
And again, not to say, you know, I could have used it, not to say, F y'all, I did it on my own, but to say, man, you know, it's like going to college. You know what I mean? You go to college, you go to a four-year university, you struggle, you lose sleep, you go through all of this craziness, and you finally get that degree. You finally get to walk across that stage. It's like, I finally did it. I'm finally there. But then you look back, and you got $150,000 in student loans, $200,000 in student loans, and it's like, damn. Until I get out of that hole,
then you really ain't really, I ain't really accomplished nothing. Yeah, you ain't accomplished it.
Imagine going to college and paying for it the whole way through.
The whole way.
And coming out with a job that pays you pretty good money on the other end.
We eating.
And being able to feed yourself, to pay back whatever you lost in the process of going to school. But damn, man, that's the reflection piece. And when I look back now, it's like, you know, it was worth the effort. It was worth the sacrifice.
You definitely put in a lot of own money, own time, own effort into trying to make things happen. And, I mean, everything came together, I guess, because of the stars, the moon, the way Venus, and I'm joking. The moon was full.
Right. But whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah, it worked. And I'm loving the direction that we're going in right now. And just looking back at all the things that we have accomplished since we started doing all these podcasts, everybody's doing a damn good job, though, at what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're meeting people. We're becoming part of important things. People are definitely got our names in their mouths somewhere, somehow. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm really, and I'm just happy. Like I told Dave, I told him, like, that was yesterday. I talked to him. I was like, I'm happy that everybody's happy with what they're getting out of
the
what
process,
we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I would have had a whole bunch of unhappy people around me, this wouldn't be what I wanted to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if everybody happy, I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm not going to push back. I'm just going to keep pushing forward until that big break come and be like, oh, yeah, you finally made it because you just pushed.
Just keep it. Pushing.
You just keep pushing.
You know, and you know, that kind of brings into the conversation, well, what's next and when? You know what I mean? That's a sales term, what's next and when.
And when.
All right. You know, it's always about, okay, you've gotten there. Don't get comfortable. You know, you still got multiple layers to go before you can hang up your hat and kick up your feet and go sailing off into the sunlight.
Right.
So what's next? You know what I mean? I think about this video piece, you know, as it relates to this show and just kind of getting people more visually involved. You know, I'm asking people to just sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no expression. There's nothing but a voice on the other end of a speaker. You know what I mean? And for me, that's enough. Again, like I said before, I'm the kind of person, I listen to music. I'd rather, in a lot of cases, listen to the acapella than the mix. Because
the mix.
I really want to know if you're actually talking about something worth listening to. You know what I mean? So podcasting, once I became familiar with it, I really started to appreciate it and love it for what it was because it's just the information.
Just information.
There's no fluff. There's none of that extra craziness to it. But to bring in the video piece, you can visually connect with that person.
Yeah, now you
can
know who's talking to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's Arthur.
I mean, you know, I feel like I got a face for radio, you know, so I'm not necessarily saying
got it.
I got a face for radio. So I'm not saying that putting me on camera is going to be the greatest thing in the world, but I can appreciate the intimacy of that next level connection. So I'm looking forward to
it. I've seen
that.
It from the beginning. I went from our first episode all the way to now. Your podcast always been the best sounding one. You know what I'm saying? Because of your voice. You have a podcast voice. You know what happened when you first made a podcast? Anchor instantly hit you up, was like, make a commercial for us. And I'm like, I knew he had the voice. They hit you up. They called me.
Right. Yeah. That was different.
And know. I was like, wow, I knew that was that voice. It's something you have a calm voice that people can listen to. You have you're very intelligent, so you say your words, you know what I'm saying? So
speak your words.
You know what I'm saying?
That's your words.
It's always good. It's not really like, oh, I ain't hear him on that episode that time. So
well, I mean, I appreciate that, man. And yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't look at myself in that capacity. I wake up to me every day. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's you. Yeah. It's, you're not putting on a show for
right.
These
and
people.
That's the thing. It's like everybody's like, oh, you're this and you're that, and I'm like, I'm just me.
If you was
I mean?
To
There's
have
no
a conversation
effort.
With Arthur, this is the same conversation you would have off pod that you would have on pod.
Right.
I know that because I met you off pod first, so I already know how you talk. Right. But to hear you through the speakers, it's an amazing thing to hear. Like, wow.
Well, I appreciate it. I feel like your voice is bigger than mine, though.
I only because I'm an artist and I know how to carry. I've been singing and rapping.
Yeah.
For a long time.
It's a different,
you know what I'm saying?
Energy.
I always wanted to be in front of a mic and do my thing. Never been really personable, though, so it was always, like, behind the scenes. I like to rap. But when it came down to stage presence, it was like, I ain't got that yet. Mm. I need to go to class or school or something for this. This ain't. But
it is a skill.
It's a skill to even do that part.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing, you know, I'm not pursuing entertainment value. I'm just pursuing like knowledge and information.
Knowledge.
You know what I mean? So I don't know how that's going to transfer on camera. You know
what I mean?
It's
I think it would do a good deed to people.
Well, we about to find out. We about to find out in short order.
You would definitely be surprised how many people will rather watch you talk than rather listen to you talk.
And that's exactly it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to see your expressions. I like to see what other people have to say after you say something, and they be like, you look at the camera, you get somebody looking like, oh, I don't know about that. It's not me.
Right. What I'm honestly looking forward to is the comment section. Because I love to hear people respond. Yeah. You know what I mean? I like reaction videos, like music reaction videos, because I like to see other people's perspectives of the conversation or the music or whatever took place. So I love to hear people's input. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I didn't get a lot of vocal feedback. Like, I would get text messages or I'd get DM messages. People be like, oh, why did you say this? Or why did you think that? Or I wish you could elaborate on this a little more. Or, hey, you brought up something that I'm dealing with. What do you think? So that's the part that kind of engages me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's not always monetary. It's not always like, oh, you need a coaching session. You know, pay me $5,000 and we can make this happen. You know, it's not always that kind of opportunity, but it's always a chance for me to really see what kind of impact that I'm having.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, I know that the YouTube comment section can be like,
oh, they be going ham.
Yeah, it could be like the worst place in the world to be.
They be going ham because people don't do nothing but sit on YouTube all day and watch videos. So, I mean, between all these social platforms, every one of them has their algorithm, and your algorithm might be the best algorithm.
I think it just started raining.
Yeah.
What in the hell is that noise?
We're hearing the rain.
Well, that's part of the ambiance.
Hear a little rain in the background.
Maybe the mics don't pick it up.
It'll be fixed soon. Yeah. Me and Ryan have been talking about it. It's a thing that's going to either get fixed or something going to happen. I don't know.
And, you know, but that goes back into it. You know, the maturation process of this whole thing we getting into. This is not what we signed up for, man.
None of this stuff. It's none like, dude, we just thought we was going to get in the studio and start recording people.
Right. But, and this the studio was supposed to be a room. And it's in a warehouse.
A room in a warehouse.
Or in an office somewhere.
And you needed an office for your other stuff. Right. I was like, all right,
let's make it happen.
We found this big galanchant building in...
Is that a word? That a new word? Galanchant. I like
it. I always make up words, bro. I got my own dictionary. I'm telling you. Ask Tia. She'll tell you. She'll be like, bro, that's not a word. I'll be like, it's my word.
It is today. Right. But man, I mean, you know, again, just kind of reflecting back on what came of a conversation between me and Dave. And you know, he was really the one that kind of went out there and said, if Joe Rogan can do it and Joe Budden's can do it, then I can do it.
Yeah.
Because I think my engineer better than everybody's engineer. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, Art, if I can do it, you can do it. And I know you're already trying to do something anyway. And I'm like, we'll see.
I'm surprised he convinced you.
Because
he didn't convince me. Because he tried it with me first, like, bruh, you should do a podcast. I'm like, bruh, I'm not a podcaster. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Everybody should. He was trying to get every single last single person
guest, yes.
to do a podcast on their own so we can just have this big old network. But I was like, dude, Arthur is a great podcast. I think that's going to be dope. And you're a great podcast, so we going to be dope. And I don't know what to tell you about anybody else who's trying to get to join the network. I don't know.
And what about Sim, man? You talk to him? He's still going
Sim,
at it?
Sim and them still doing they one, too. They actually just posted a video, and they was doing a podcast. So they had, like, the living room set up.
Yeah, I saw
that. They said that they were going to do in the first place, because that's what their whole dream of a podcast was we're in an intimate setting, just sitting around talking. I haven't seen any releases yet, but I'm sending them a bag, a whole bunch of episodes, then start releasing all of a sudden. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess them guys are doing good. They did reach out to me one time to try to get, I think he had bought Pro Tools, so he wanted me to set it up.
Okay.
And I told him I would, but he never called me back and told me that anything else. I said, just call me, let me know when you're free, and I'll come over. But maybe they figured it out. I don't know. But
yeah.
I haven't personally talked to Sim since then. But I see they're moving forward with their podcast, so I'm happy for those guys. And anything they need done, if they ever reached out, I would always, you know what I'm
absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely,
yeah. Mess with them, because, I mean, those guys were doing they want to when they was trying to follow their passion. A little messy, but, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, and when it's all said and done, in my opinion, that's what I hope we all take away from this whole agenda, this whole effort. You know, just get comfortable somewhere.
Yeah.
Figure out where that comfort zone is. And comfortable doesn't necessarily mean I can do this. Yeah. It means I'm actually enjoying this. It don't feel like work no more. You know what I mean? And whatever pace Sim moves at or Dave move at or even I move at, it's like, you know, we don't feel forced to do it. You know, we don't feel rushed to do it.
It's a passion. We just like doing it.
Yeah.
And I like recording all my podcasts. I like doing it every time because it's doing nothing but getting me practicing anything that I do. When I record music, when I record podcasts, and I'm always like, all right, I'm getting some more practice. So I'm never mad to record anything that anybody has to do. But you have to be passionate about it. You can't just take days off just because you don't feel like doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got somebody who's willing to work for you, stick with that person and work.
Right.
And that's what I got Dave to do. I was like, Dave, if you work, I'm working.
Right.
He ain't stopped since.
He ain't stopped, right.
he ain't stopped since.
I ain't took a week off yet either.
And you ain't stopped since you started. So I'm like, oh, yeah, ain't no. Dave did take a week off, though.
Right.
That one time. And he got cussed out by a few people who listened to the pod after
Is that.
That
right?
And he was like, never again. I can't do it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to have something.
And you know, there's been a couple episodes where you didn't engineer it, and, you know, because you had stuff going on.
But
and
you made a way, though.
Yeah.
Even recording in the basement that one time.
On myself.
I was like, dude, this dude recorded in the basement. And it came out pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was.
Even after I edited it and put a little spice on it, I was like, he did that in the basement.
Yeah. I did that with no mic, no mixer.
No nothing.
No headphones. I literally was talking to my phone. So shout out to Anchor.
That was
and shout
dope.
Out to the iPhone for making that happen. It was the one that I felt like, okay, this is going to sound like crap compared to everything else, so I better make it real personal. And I did. That was the reason why that information in that episode, you won't hear again.
Yeah. That was dope.
You won't hear that again because I went like way beyond my comfort zone. I'm like, I never get this person.
I was editing. I'm like, yeah, he's personal in this, even in this tone of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like very intimate. Like, turn the lights off, put the candles, light the candles. You know what I'm saying? Because this is about to get real intimate. Real deep.
And that's exactly what happened. Because I think we ended up losing power that day.
Yeah, because you said you was in the basement because of, Because
I lost power. So I'm sitting down there in the pitch black darkness. The only light is the light coming from my phone. And I'm like, I'm going to talk to my phone for the next, because it was short. It wasn't meant to be long, but man.
That was the day that I knew that you were very, very dedicated to this podcast. As of AG's Convos, like, regardless of what's going on, we're going to record this. Right. I don't know what's going to happen, but we got to get this out here.
And when I called you, you was like, look, I can edit it when we get back to the studio. I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. I'll find a way to record it.
I just ain't going to be able to record you.
Right. I'll find a way to record it. So you can take your breaks. You can go on vacation. You can do what you need to do. I'll find a way. And now we got like a whole team of people here.
They're more than willing to come here. Ryan was so, he actually was like, that podcast was pretty damn dope. The podcast he just recorded.
Yeah.
He was like, that was an interesting podcast. So obviously he got something out of that too while he was sitting here recording it.
Yeah.
He was like, that was a good one. And I was like, it's always like that, bro. Arthur's good. He has a good podcast.
Shout out to Ryan for taking care of me and Ted. You know, I was like, I can't miss this opportunity. I gotta take it. And even Tiger, shout out to Tiger as well, because again, Tiger is the one that kind of pulled it off. He actually set up the whole Pro Tools session. So he was like, because I told him, I was like, I don't know if my engineering gonna be able to make it. He was like, don't worry, I'll do it if he can't. I was like, all right, cool. But Ryan was like, no, I got you. I was like, all right, cool. I got backup after backup.
Some of your settings were kind of weird, and I was like, dude, I haven't really set this Pro Tool up how I actually wanted to customize it. I hadn't made no customized settings. I really just been shooting podcasts through this boy, so it really ain't really been no setup really for real. And he was like, well, I usually use the key commands, and I couldn't use the command F. And I'm like, oh, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know why that wasn't working. Because the key command's supposed to work. He was like, well, Mike say he'll show me. He knows why it's not working. I'm like, well, yeah, because I don't even use that key command. I don't even know what command F does.
Right. You know, and that, for me, that has been the biggest benefit of all this. You know, I had all of this idea, all of this vision, and no way to actually manifest it because I did not have the skill sets to do that. Right. And I'm leaning on you, and you got your thing going on.
I'm trying to figure it out at the same time you asked me. Right. So that was the problem at the beginning. Like, you were asking me questions that I didn't even have the answers to yet.
Right.
So I'm like, Arthur, I really don't have these answers yet. I'm still doing school. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to, like, get to the point. I'm trying to, like, mimic what Lava Room is doing at the same time. Like, they got this board right here, bro. We buy this board. We can probably get it off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you like, all right, let me just go talk to my guy and see what can happen, and we'll figure it out. So, you figured it out in the best way you could.
Yeah, I wasn't about to buy that $100,000 board he got. I was like, I can't go there, but
the one that I seen. I just told Ryan this. I was like, I seen one. It was like, well, Ryan the one that showed me it. It was like $5,000, and it was on Reverb. So it was somebody else's board. They had fixed it, and they were selling it for $5,000. And he was like, it's the same board that we got here. And I'm like, oh, really? He was like, but you might run into some difficulties buying this because you don't know what's really wrong with it or if they even fixed the problem. That's probably why they're discounting it so low. And I was like, I'll still tell Arthur about it. I don't know if he, I mean, I'm pretty sure, but you were so like, no, we're not about to put nothing old in here. This is a new bed. We're making it new. And I was like, all right, bro. We're making it new then. This is my bed. I'm making it. Please let me do it.
Because I didn't have the intellect. I didn't have the wherewithal to fix something when it broke. So I wanted it under warranty. I wanted to be like, hey,
I would have been trying to figure it out from the start, and then if it broke, I would have had to know what I was doing to fix it. So it would have been a long road for me, but you kind of made it a little bit easier on that end by linking with Persona. Shout out Persona. Y'all did a good job.
Yes, sir. But, you know, like you said, I'm learning it. I'm learning the industry and the equipment.
Yeah, at the same time.
You learning how to advance your understanding of the whole process, and then your teacher moves into the building. It's like, oh, okay, we can kind of learn as we go now.
We can learn as we go. Anything I have to ask, this dude is next door. Right. I could just go ask him, right. Like, Mike, I got a question.
Right.
And he'll answer it for me.
Dude, that has taken so much. Now I could just focus on what I came in here to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was always my goal. Like, I just need somebody to take it when I bring it in here. Mm-hmm. And now they like, we ready. Let's go.
Yeah. Anything you bring in here, we can handle it. You know what I'm saying? So that takes a lot off of my plate, too. So I'm like, all right, I ain't got to work as hard, but we got to get in here and get some things done. So I'm like, all right, I got to get people in here. But I already know the story. We ain't even got to talk about it no more. I'm definitely ready for all that's about to come.
Yeah, it's been an interesting road, you know. Like I said, I'm super excited about what's coming. I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I want people to know that, yes, we're finally to that point. We ain't got to keep saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming.
Oh, no,
it's officially here.
We're done with all that.
Literally here. So, and, you know, the calendar is already starting to fill up. You know what I mean? Tomorrow's going to be a busy day. Friday's going to be a busy day. Weekends are jumping. You know, I'm just trying to figure out how late in the day can we go now. You know what I mean? We got all of the parts and pieces in place, and it took 77 episodes for me to be able to say that.
Yeah.
But I had to be able to say it by now.
You equated to episodes, and that's dope, though, because it's literally how it kind of happened. Like, from the first episode all the way down to the 77th episode.
I remember episode number 7, like it was yesterday, mm-hmm. and I remember saying on that episode what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving that we are able to do what we need to do and get things done. It's so surreal for real. Because I didn't even, I mean, just having a building was like an excitement for me at one point in time.
Right.
Then the building became unexciting. And it was like, all right, this building ain't really exciting. We got to get some things going in here. And now that all the things is going, it's another excitement. That's what I wanted to say earlier. It's the excitement of the next step that keeps us pushing forward.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't got nothing to look for in the next step, then you feel like we at a standstill now.
Right.
But now you talking about next step, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you start talking about next step, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. And we ain't even broke the shell of the egg yet. At all.
We haven't just touched anything.
We barely cracked the cradle open. You know what I mean? There's so much coming down the pipe, man. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
We're connecting dots right now.
Yeah, we just...
That's what it is.
It's chess. It ain't checkers. You know what he said?
Connecting some dots. It's chess, baby.
So, I just wanted to say that, you know, I put a lot of stress on your shoulders. There was a lot of anxiety there in the beginning. I know it was because
it was fine, though. I've dealt with my family is anxiety in itself, though. So to deal with my friends on that level, it's kind of like, I got to just take it how I take it.
And
I can't give up, though, because I never gave up in the beginning. Like, that's why I've been in music so long. I never gave up. I got friends that was in it when I started, and they ain't even doing it no more.
Right.
But when I tell them what I'm doing, they be like, they miles dropping, like, are you really serious? Yes, bro. I'm not about to stop doing this because I got 40.
Right.
Are you serious, dude? I ain't dead.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I feel like there was a point in time when I was like, oh, I'm getting too old for this to be starting over. But it's like, dude, you ain't even figured it out yet. So
you can be, by the time you turn maybe even 60, you'll be looking back like, oh, my God, that 20 years was the best 20 years of my goddamn life. I went through it at the beginning, but I done made so much bread. I done did so many things. I done seen so many people, went so many places. It'd be crazy.
You know, it's funny you say that because last thing I'll bring up, you know, we was talking about who we was talking about earlier, right, Marilyn? And I asked her right before her birthday, I said, you know, I'm curious. I said, if you look back over the entirety of your 94 years of life, I said, what do you think was, like, the greatest year? She was like, probably 75, somewhere between 75 and 80. I was like, what? She was like, yeah. She was like, trust me, you got to be this far in order to have that number. I was like, it wasn't your 20s or 30s. She was like, hell, I didn't know nothing.
Nothing. You don't know nothing.
Right? She was like, I was clueless. I'm up here thinking like, my mama ain't even 75 yet. She was like, trust me. In the entirety of my life, those were by far the best years.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I was like, did you do more? Did you feel? But what was it? She was like, it was just the best. It was, I can't even explain it.
What, how old was she at that time?
That was 20 years ago. She's 94 now.
Oh, yeah. So she was older, and she said that she was the best
she
time.
Was, no, not 1975. 75 years old.
Oh, when she was
old.
75 years old, that was the best time.
That was the best time of her life. She said it was somewhere between my 75th and my 80th birthday.
Shut the hell
yeah.
up. What?
I was like, damn. I was like, so, and that's, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm crazy. I'm 44, almost 44 years old, and I'm about to start this process. She was like, you ain't started nothing
yet. You ain't started nothing.
She's talking 30 years from now for me.
She's like, 75, you
was the best
the
years.
The best time of your life.
Jeez, I was like, man, I hope I can say that.
As long as you can, I kind of try to stress now more health.
Yes.
Consciousness.
We got to make it to 75,
you know,
right?
So, hence I go for 4 mile walks all the time now, and it's becoming a normal thing because I used to hurt when I do it. Now right. It's like, oh, I'm just getting
to it.
I can't
wait, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go. I'm running with it sometimes now. So it's like, you have to be more health conscious.
That's right.
Just to even make sure that you can make it to that time period of your life. You know what I'm saying? Because I lost my stepfather at 71. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gone. He ain't even get to the 75.
Right.
But he was living life good at the beginning of his 70s. But, I mean, COVID took him out of here.
COVID to do that.
So, I mean, you can't say that the best times ain't coming, though.
Right. And that's the thing. When somebody says something like that to you and they say the best years of my life for you is 30 years from now, it's like, oh, I got a lot to look forward to if I take care of myself.
If you take care of yourself and you stay working hard on right. whatever you trying to do in your life.
So to think of, you know, 43, where I'm at right now, as almost the halfway point or potentially the halfway point. If you live your life like you're only halfway through it, then you really don't stress the future anymore. It's like, oh, I got 40 years of experience under my belt. Not the majority of my life has passed me by. Because we always looking at it going, my youth is gone. Your youth is your ignorance stage.
I think nowadays it's harder because with social media and how you get to watch the youth,
right.
you know what I'm saying, prosper,
right.
become millionaires before you ever even touch it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get kind of discouraged like, damn, they doing it way before, they doing it in their 20s,
right.
sometimes in their teens.
Right.
And you here you go 40 and you ain't even got there yet. And you like, dude, I'm ran out of time.
Right.
But not for real, though.
No.
That money that they getting is not realistic money. It's not hard-working money. It's easy money. They just learn how to work
easy
the system.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, it'll be gone.
Right. That's why so many of them go from 20 to 40 and they go from rich and famous to broke and dead. You know what I mean?
So many basketball players that played in the NBA or don't have money now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because they didn't make the proper investments when they were in the league
right.
and save that money. They, like, live these extravagant lives.
Right.
And tried to. But you can't do that.
Sure can't. You know, you sure can't.
Only the smart ones survived.
That's it, man. So, you know, I'm excited about the next 40 years of my life because I really feel like, you know, at that point I might be able to hang up my hat and I'll be 80. And if I take care of myself, I won't be old. I'll be able to jump on a boat or jump on a motorcycle, which I've never rode and I probably still won't.
Yeah, I ain't never did
jump
that
on
either.
A plane, you know, and just soak it all in. You know what I mean? I want to be able to look back 40 years from now and say, those were the best years of my life. You know what I mean? So that means that there's so much ahead of us.
Yeah.
We have no idea what's coming, but we're ready for it now. We got the infrastructure is in place. So these are exciting times, man. And I really just kind of wanted to sit back and take a minute because we've been going really hard for 77 straight episodes. All work.
And it's work.
Yeah, it ain't no easy work. It ain't that easy money work. It's real, the real deal, man. But it's finally starting to feel like it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you for taking that journey with me.
Oh, it was a journey. My whole mind state the whole time that we doing this, and I was like, I just kept saying, I can't let Arthur do this by himself.
Yeah, it was
crazy. I gotta try to do something to make, I mean, I gotta stick with him. Even if I'm not doing this much, I still gotta stick by his side and like not just leave him and be like, he done jumped into a realm of mine.
Right.
And then I just bounce on him. No, that's not about to happen. I can't bounce on him. That's one of my best friend's brothers. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I can't. There's nothing I can do about that.
Right. And I try to prepare myself for the worst, but fortunately it hasn't come to that point. And, you know, I'm not saying that the future is going to be all roses.
Pieces and cream. Yeah, you know it might be some more obstacles we have to work through.
I hope so, because if it ain't, then it's going to be easy street, and I ain't really looking forward to that either. Next thing you know, I'll be out here trying to build spaceships or something crazy because it got boring, you know what I mean? But I don't see that being the case. I don't see any of this getting boring anytime soon.
Oh, no.
And I just want everybody listening to realize that, you know, you've been as much a part of this process as he has. As anybody else has, everybody that stuck with me listening in, y'all know who y'all are. You know, the love cannot be more obvious now than it has ever been before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just something that I'm extremely grateful for. So I try to remember the people listening every single time I talk. There's so many people that call me up and remind me, like, dude, you got it. You're on your way. You got it. Just keep hanging there. You know what I mean? Just see it through. And I've never been one to feel like I was going to give up. But to know so many people are paying attention, it just feels good
to
know.
That's good. That's the feeling right there. When people start paying attention, that's the feeling. Like, yes.
And that's it. And when they rooting for you and they cheering for you and they believe in you, even on those days, like she was saying, you know, Tia was saying with the affirmations, there's just days when you feel like, damn, like, is anybody even aware of what's going on here? But when they pick up the phone and they call me or they send me a text message or a DM and say, dude, that was awesome. Yeah. Or I love that episode.
You helped me.
Thanks for getting me through that. Or somebody I know just called me and told me that they listened to your episode and it helped something or it fixed something. It's like, all right, it's working. I'm doing what I came here to do.
I mean, it takes one person. If I help one person, I'm fine.
That's it. So I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for everybody listening in. And I'm telling you right now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Thank you for listening to this episode. This is AG's Convos. And we out.
AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes.